Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday marked 1 week since an explosion rocked the port city of Beirut in Lebanon. At least 171 people died, as many as 5,000 are injured, and thousands upon thousands more are now homeless. The precise cause of the explosion is still not known, but it started after a fire ignited thousands of tons of ammonium nitrate that had been stored at the port. Soon, we'll hear from people here in Illinois with close connections to Lebanon. First, though, we wanted to hear from someone on the ground, now in Beirut. Vanessa Breeding is an American who works at the Center for American Studies and Research at the American University of Beirut. Vanessa happens to be a friend of Anna, who's a producer here on the 21st. Here's what she recorded from Beirut early this morning.
The situation before August 4th was such that everyone I know was suffering from depression, anxiety, hopelessness. Most of our conversations were about not knowing where this country was headed, how things would be, whether we would be okay, etc. And then on August 4th, I had been rehearsing with a group of actors and artists for a play that we were trying to do. And we had to step out of the building around at 6 because the electricity went out. That's another one of the main reasons for the anxiety of life here, is that there are huge electricity shortages. And we were standing on the kind of patio of this place, and then suddenly the earth started to move, and there was a little bit of blast type noise, but not too intense, so we all thought it was an earthquake. And I guess that lasted for about 4 seconds, and then there was an extremely loud blast. Everything, huge pressure went through the air, and wind went through the air, and everything like slammed shut or slammed to the ground, and it was like really deafening and terrifying. And I rushed out into the middle of the street to be away from the buildings. And everyone just started asking, what happened, where was that, what happened? I've heard accounts from everyone in the city that the feeling was such that for the first 4 seconds it was an earthquake, and then after the big explosion, it was a bomb in the building next door. You know, like everyone in the whole city felt as though the building next door had just exploded. And we're all traumatized and stunned, and we were all just hanging on to a shred of like wanting to live before this happened, of feeling like we could live, like it was possible to do anything. Between corruption and economic collapse and, you know, ruined infrastructure, no electricity, and corona, it was really a very stressful place. And now this has happened, and there's no future.
Vanessa Breeding is an American in Beirut who's lived in Lebanon for 5 years. We know there are Lebanese Americans and Lebanese immigrants living in Illinois and Peoria and elsewhere. We invite you to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. And now I'd like to welcome our guests. Sobi Baghdadi is a financial advisor based in St. Charles. He's originally from Lebanon. He studied at Rockford University here in Illinois. Sobi, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian.
I'd also like to welcome Antoine Menassa, a project engineer in the Chicago area who grew up also in Lebanon. He did his undergraduate work at the American University in Beirut, and he got his master's at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Antoine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And I'd also like to welcome Gabrielle Corey. She's with Corey's Cuisine, a Mediterranean restaurant in Peoria. They're planning a fundraiser to help people in Lebanon after the explosion. Gabrielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So, Antoine, I want to begin with you. In the message we heard earlier in the show, we heard a bit about how people in Lebanon were feeling even before the August explosion, the explosion that happened earlier this month. How was the situation in the country when you decided to come here?
The situation before I came here 2 years ago was already starting to get worse day by day. The economic crisis that started in October have really gone really bad. We have hyperinflation, which has led for the Lebanese currency to lose 80% of its value in less than a year. We have corruption in our political class. We have police brutality against the protests that started in October. And all of those are amplified by the COVID epidemic right now. So all of those that happened before the explosion, the situation was very bad. And now it's really complete chaos on the streets.
You know, can you mentioned hyperinflation. I think it's been so long since people in America have had to deal with that. Some people may not understand exactly what that means. Can you talk, like, for example, about the price of food? What does inflation do to just trying to get the necessities of everyday life, like food?
So, first, whatever you're gonna be buying, the prices went up for all the normal food. In Lebanon, we really rely on importing food, and since our currency has lost its value against the US dollar, importing food is now way more expensive, which has caused the citizens of Lebanon having to pay way more to get their basic necessities. And now that the port of Beirut is gone, this really causes concerns of how are people going to get access to basic necessities, to their food, to their medical supplies.
Yeah, and I think I heard a report on the PBS NewsHour this week that there were some grain silos on the port there, and that those were also destroyed in the explosion, and that leaves the country with a pretty short supply of grain for bread. Sobi, you're originally from Lebanon as well. I wonder, can you talk a little bit about what was it like growing up there?
Brian, I was so I'm half Lebanese, half Syrian. So I grew up between Lebanon and Syria. But I did my undergrad between 2004 and 2009 at the American University of Beirut. And it gives me like just what happened. It gave me a flashback because my second semester at the American University, the assassination of the former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri happened in 2005. And we lived the same like exact like serial of explosions for 4 years actually. So I can relate to what's going on the ground right now, but every person I know there, they are telling me that it's totally different than anything they've seen before. And like I have friends, I have family who works in the medical field, and what they've been telling me about like the situation in the hospitals and on the ground, it's beyond imagination.
And is that related to the explosion itself or to the uprisings that have happened after the explosion as well?
It's after the explosion because all the facilities, they don't have, like, one of my relatives, she's a nurse at the American University, actually, medical center. And she was telling me that, like, they're carrying stitches and they're moving from a room to a room just to, like, without using any anesthesia or anything. They're just, like, stitching people. This is the 48 hour during the 48, 72 hours after the explosion. It's mind blowing. And she was telling me like, no matter how you're watching on TV, it's totally, beyond what you see on TV.
And Antoine, I wonder, what about you? What was your reaction to, you know, after hearing about the explosion that had occurred in Beirut?
You know, Brian, although we're physically here, this is all still fresh. Our souls are still there. Our family and friends are still in Lebanon. Most of our friends have been affected. They lost their homes. They literally have no shelter. I've never felt more homesick than now because I really want to be on the streets. I want to help them back up and be back on their feet, clean the rubble and get down on the street to revolt against this criminal government. But I think also this is an opportunity for us, for the expats, to play an important role in raising awareness of what's happening. trying to direct funds within the NGO's hands and not the government's hands, since the government is very corrupt, and we've had many cases where they stole whatever funds were given to them.
You know, you mentioned you're homesick now, and I wonder if you could take us back to, you know, before this happened. If we were to visit you in your home, what would we have seen, you know, in the before times?
Well, I think the beauty of Beirut really relies on its people. Even now, if you watch the news, there's no government support or military support that's helping the people. It's just people that came from different parts of Lebanon that are on the ground helping everyone that's in need on the streets. And that really is the highlight of Lebanon, our culture, how a close culture we are to each other. We love helping each other, and we love going out. We're always happy, no matter how depressed we really are, because of everything, of the corruption and all the bad situation that we are in. And it's also sad when you realize that this bomb has been there for 6 years. So all my undergrad years in Lebanon, we've been living and going out just near a ticking bomb. So if this happened before COVID, I can't even imagine the damage that would have happened.
And it could have happened while you were there, is what you're saying. I mean, easily could
exactly,
have happened
yeah.
any time. Yeah. If you're just joining us, I'm Brian Mackey. This is the 21st. We're speaking with the members of the Lebanese community here in Illinois after the explosion in Beirut last week. We're joined by Sobi Baghdadi and Antoine Manassa. Both are originally from Lebanon and studied at the American University of Beirut. And we're also joined by Gabrielle Corey from Corey's Cuisine, a Mediterranean restaurant in Peoria. And Gabrielle, there's a sizable Lebanese-American population in Peoria. Can you talk about the connections between Peoria and Lebanon?
Yeah, so there's a pretty big amount of Lebanese descent in Peoria. A lot of them had grandparents who are originally from Lebanon. A lot of us are from northern Lebanon. However, there also is a big amount of first generation Lebanese citizens. So my parents came from Lebanon, and we grew up in Peoria. However, we've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to visit Lebanon every year. So we are actually, we own a restaurant here in Peoria, and we're just trying to, you know, create a fundraiser so we can do our part to help those in need.
Yeah, and I'll come back to that in a minute. You know, Antoine, I wanted to ask, you've mentioned the I think you both mentioned the, you know, the idea of corruption in the government there, and obviously we're seeing these massive protests. I wonder, have you followed that? Do you know people involved in this, and do you think that there is an opportunity for some significant improvement now?
There is definitely an opportunity for change. Yes, I've been following up closely with the revolution that is happening. The people in the government, the political elites, have been in power for 30 years. It's just changing their positions, but it's the same people that's been there. You can see how deep all of that's happening, and basically even the bomb is a consequence of the corruption that's there, of how the government is irresponsible. I think that now more than ever there is hope. People are waking up to how those people that are in power don't really care about the people of Lebanon. And I really hope that everyone is starting to wake up to the reality, and that is going to change the political system that is there.
And Sobi, same question to you. Do you think there's an opportunity for, or is this a turning point in Lebanon's history?
Yes, Brian, I echo 100% what Antoine was saying. There is a huge corruption for the past 30 years from the political leaders, the families, actually, that's like ruling Lebanon. And you can see that a lot of government, they offered help to the Lebanese government, and the Lebanese government rejected that help. because they don't want people to look inside and investigate what happened. At the same time, I'm following very closely the revolution or the protests. One of my very dear friends in Lebanon, he's an activist, and he started on the ground now. If you can, you can look it up on Instagram. It's called Beirut Hope, and he is collecting with his friends, and like they're just going and spreading all the funds that they're coming and like. Collecting food and home appliances and helping people on the ground. So 100% there is a hope now, because the international community now, they're looking closely at the corrupt of the Lebanese government and the politicians there. Mm-hmm. And people there are willing now. They don't have exactly what Vanessa just said. There is depression. There is hopelessness that was before. Of the situation and the economic situation. So
yeah.
The Lebanese people, they don't have anything now to lose.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We need to take a quick break. I want to continue this conversation for a few minutes after the break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. More to come. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking to people from Lebanon in, or with ties to Lebanon at least, in Illinois, who about the explosion that hit the port city of Beirut last week. As many as 171 dead, 5,000 injured, thousands upon thousands are homeless. We're speaking with Antoine Manassa and Sobi Baghdadi, who are both originally from Lebanon, and Gabriel Corey, who is whose family is from Lebanon and owns a restaurant in Peoria. And I had to cut you off before the break, but I think that, you know, we need to wrap this conversation fairly soon, but what can people do to help, right? You were mentioning somebody you know there has an Instagram account. I think we've heard the government is not necessarily the way to help people. If people do want to make a contribution, what's the best way to go about doing that?
Absolutely, Brian. My two ways to channel the funds now, and all my friends here and my community, is Beirut Hope, which is the Instagram account for my friends who are activists on the ground, and the Lebanese Red Cross. These two channels are non-governmental, and they are trusted.
And Gabriel, your restaurant, I understand, is raising money to also send aid to Lebanon. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so on August 30th, we are going to have the fundraiser here at the restaurant. Well, we will have like a Lebanese type of breakfast out, as well as open our usual menu. And we don't typically open on Sundays, but that particular Sunday, we are going to open up to the public. We are going to have T-shirts that people can pre-order. The food will be available. Just kind of explaining to our Lebanese community here in Peoria and those others that want to join, how they can support Lebanon, and all the proceeds are actually going to go to the Lebanese Red Cross.
Okay. And we're going to leave our conversation there. I want to thank you all. We'll have links to some of the ways to help, the Instagram account that was mentioned, the restaurant, all on our social media, which is at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. I want to thank Gabriel Corey from Corey's Cuisine, a Lebanese restaurant in Peoria, Antoine Manassa, who's an engineer in Chicago, originally from Lebanon, and Sobi Baghdadi, a financial advisor in the suburb of St. Charles, also from Lebanon. I know this is a difficult time for you, and I'm sure it's not easy to talk about, but I want to thank you all so much for sharing your stories and your experiences with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for having us, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.